The 2006 International AIDS Conference, Time to Deliver, brought to you by KaiserNetwork.org.
Dr. Frank, thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
In the spirit that it's never too early to talk about the next AIDS conference, the next one, of course, will be held in Mexico City in 2008. What do you expect the significant issues to be there?
First of all, we're very honored that Mexico was chosen to be the host of the next International AIDS Conference. It's the first time it will be held in Latin America, and I think that's an important recognition of many good things that have happened and also the remaining challenges. I think a lot of the emerging topics were presented here in Toronto. The renewed emphasis on prevention, of new tools for prevention, of particularly tools that have the potential of empowering women. The need to focus even more on youth, on the youth and the problems of young persons, both as a force for prevention and also because they are increasingly a population that lives with HIV. Those have been, I think, topics, and then the insistence on having a universal access to comprehensive care, as we have now achieved in Mexico. So I think we will continue to see some of these topics emerging. I would add one of which we're very proud in Mexico, which I hope will be emphasized there, is the fight against discrimination and stigma, which has been, of course, very present here and in previous AIDS conferences. But we would like to push that even further. That is something where Mexico has made even a constitutional amendment to forbid discrimination. And finally, I would also like to see more emphasis on the vulnerability of migrants. Migration is a huge topic of our times, and this is a population that's particularly vulnerable to HIV/AIDS. So in summary, some of the topics have emerged very prominently here. Others have been on the agenda for a long time, but we need to reemphasize them. And some are now beginning to acquire great significance.
I remember in 2004 when the AIDS conference was held in Bangkok, and everyone said one of the great values of doing it in Bangkok was that it put the world spotlight on AIDS in Asia. And now the same thing will happen for Latin America in 2008. What I wonder is, what is the practical effect of putting the spotlight on AIDS in Latin America? What comes of it?
I think many good things come. I mean, just raising the awareness. First of all, that this is a global problem. You know, Mexico has a relatively low prevalence rate. But whatever happens to an AIDS patient in Africa or in Asia or in the Caribbean, our neighbors, is very relevant to Mexico, to Mexican society, and not just to the groups where we have the epidemic concentrated, but to all society. That AIDS is a problem of development and security as much as it is the largest public health challenge of our times. And that no country and no community is immune or can remain indifferent to what's going on with AIDS in the world. Now, that kind of awareness raising among the general population and also among policymakers, I think has an enormous value, because we have tended in Latin America and many countries to think that this is a problem of other parts of the world, Sub-Saharan Africa, even the Caribbean, which is so close to us. But yet, we tend to think it's the problem of others, or of other groups, men who have sex with men, or commercial sex workers, or intravenous drug users. And that's where the whole stigmatization process begins. So the first thing is to raise awareness that this is our problem also. And this is an enormous value of holding the conference in Mexico.
Science magazine recently ran extensive coverage of AIDS in Latin America. John Cohn wrote it, who we've spent time with this week. And the title of the section was The Forgotten Epidemic.
Absolutely.
It sounds like you agree exactly
with
that take.
I agree completely. I think the Joel's reporting was excellent, and the service that has done to raise the awareness is a big service. And we hope that bringing the conference to Latin America will continue in that line.
You mentioned earlier that there is a constitutional amendment banning discrimination in Mexico. What prompted that action? How severe was, and still, I presume, is the problem of stigma and discrimination in Mexico?
Yeah, this is the third pillar of our strategy. We have a first pillar is prevention, second pillar is universal access, and we added this. And why did this happen in Mexico? First, we had a transition into full democracy. And you cannot have a democratic society when people are discriminated on the basis of their health condition or their preferences. So there was a big movement in society and in the Congress to reflect that even in, this is Article 1 of the Constitution. So we changed the Constitution so that it opens saying discrimination, there cannot be no discrimination on the basis of gender, ethnic origin, we are a multi-ethnic society, health condition, preferences, all of this is enshrined in the Constitution. Now this had very practical implications. A law derived from that and a national council to prevent and fight discrimination has been established. Now that council has now is working in collaboration with the National AIDS Council, and we have made AIDS a focus of the fight against discrimination. And this has been translated both into, I think, very successful campaigns, particularly a campaign against homophobia that has received two international awards, and also legal action. I mean, it's not just awareness raising and conscious awareness or making people conscious of the problem. Now, it's also legal action. You now have a recourse in case you are subject to discrimination. A kid gets expelled from a school because he's HIV positive. Mm-hmm. Now, the parents or the kid himself or herself, if necessary, can have somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. Or someone loses his or her job, that person has somewhere to go. But we need to act on the two sides, the law and then cultural change. And that's where our largest challenge lies, because we have deep-rooted traditions of machismo and, you know, general discrimination against people who have or intolerance to diversity.
You mentioned the other pillar, one of the three other pillars being universal access. In the real world, is it truly universal access for the rich as well as for the poor?
Yes.
Everybody who needs it gets it?
The innovation that Mexico introduced, and I think it's part of why the International AIDS Society selected Mexico, is that when the current administration, when I started as minister in 2000, half of the population was insured, had insurance. Like in the United States, it's employment-based insurance, except it's social insurance. But only those who have a salaried job had insurance. The other half, which include the poorest persons, the peasants who work their own land, the small shopkeeper mm-hmm. who has his or her own shop, those were uninsured. And therefore, if they happened to need AIDS treatment, they couldn't afford it. So the most innovative thing I have done in 6 years as minister is introduce a new program called Popular Health Insurance, Seguro Popular in Spanish, which is designed to cover the uninsured. And it will do so over a seven-year period, because we have to insure 50 million people who were uninsured in the year 2000. But because some things cannot wait 7 years, the law allows for what we call accelerated universal coverage. And the first condition that was chosen for that was treatment for AIDS. So since 2003, every uninsured person who requires treatment is automatically eligible for enrollment into the new insurance scheme and has all comprehensive care, including drugs, but it's not just drugs, it's laboratory mm-hmm. tests, counseling, and then other diseases, I mean other problems, because patients with AIDS also have other diseases. So this is now a reality. We are reaching about 97% of those who would be eligible. We still need to make an effort that everyone is aware that they are now entitled. But it's been using AIDS as a driver of change to achieve universal insurance. I think this has been the big innovation that Mexico has brought to the table.
Given the cultural climate that you mentioned earlier, how did you manage to make that happen?
Well, I think, I mean, although there may be prejudice and discrimination, it is also true that when someone is ill, you know, this is a, it mobilizes feelings of solidarity. And I think because we started educational campaigns way from the beginning of the mm-hmm. epidemic in the early 80s, some of the initial victim blaming is at least certainly no more out in the open. It may still be there somewhere there. But the other thing is we argued that obviously ethically every human life is valuable, but that also achieving universal treatment made a lot of economic sense for the economy, for our competitiveness, for the economic growth of Mexico. And this is why we persuaded the Ministry of Finance and the Congress to increase the budget for AIDS by 14-fold, 14 times its increase. This is how we achieved universal coverage. So in addition to the ethical obligation to save any life, we also can mobilize an economic rationale that this makes good economic sense and that treating persons with AIDS is not an expenditure, it's an investment. These are people in their prime of their life. As a society, we've already put them, most of them, through public schooling. They are now experienced, they have been trained. They are heads of families, many times providing for other people in the community. They are valuable members of our community. So it makes sense as an investment. And I think having used this rationale was very persuasive. And the most important thing, we worked with civil society. This was not done by the government alone. So we reform our National AIDS Council. So now civil society organizations have a seat there. They're not just observers, they vote. So they are now co-responsible for policy. And that mobilized the energy of the NGO movement, and they were a tremendous ally to get these budgetary increases and to achieve universal coverage.
I have a final question, bringing it back to this conference and moving into Mexico City. At the beginning of the week, I talked with many conference leaders who emphasized the concept of accountability, that what is said here, there will be some accountability at the next conference. How is that implemented in Mexico City, that concept?
Well, I'll give you an example. On Sunday, I had the honor of being invited to a high-level panel on youth, youth and AIDS, which, as I was telling you at the beginning, is one of the emerging topics. And I really congratulate Toronto for having put those topics on the agenda. So someone said, well, you know, it's great. We doubled the number of young persons between Bangkok and Toronto. So I said, well,
in terms of number
of attendees who are young persons. So I made the commitment that I would double it again for Mexico. Well, the young persons who are there to keep us honest asked me to go, and I'm doing that, to their booth and write it down.
Okay.
So in 2 years, we will have to count whether we achieve that goal of doubling the attendance of young persons. And we will be held to account. And I think this is very good. For those of us who are in government, we need to be held accountable. And I think that it's the energy of society that does that. And this is the spirit we'll bring to Mexico, certainly.
We will check in with you in 2 years. And
Thank
good
you.
Luck to you.
Thank you. It will be a hard act to follow. Toronto has done a great job. But we're starting already now, and we feel very full of energy from the positive outcome of the Toronto conference.
See you in 2008.
Thank you very much.